We've covered the basic rules on rates of IPT and what contracts suffer the higher rate, but what would happen if someone supplies insurance that covers different types of benefits, which are liable to different rates, or include some benefits that are exempt? For instance, imagine that we supply a contract covering medical insurance and permanent health insurance. Medical insurance is excluded from Schedule 7A and is therefore liable to the standard rate of IPT, whereas permanent health insurance is included in Schedule 7A and is exempt. Let's imagine that the total premium paid by the customer is £500. How do we account for IPT, given that our contract covers both taxable and exempt components? This is where Section 69 of the Finance Act 1994 comes into play. It covers the rules of apportionment. Section 69 says that we need to first work out the exempt bit of the premium. If, for instance, the permanent health insurance makes up £100 out of the total £500, then this is the bit that will be exempt. Once we have established the exempt portion, to find the non-exempt bit of the premium, we simply need to take the total premium and deduct the exempt part that we've just calculated. The sum that's left is the taxable amount on which IPT is deemed to be included. Therefore, IPT will be due at 1 over 21 times the £400. Remember that IPT is tax inclusive. Continuing with apportionment, what if the contract covers risks both within the UK and overseas? Once again, we need to apportion the premium, as only the UK risks are liable to UK IPT. For example, if the contract covers buildings insurance for a number of properties, and one of those properties is located in Spain, then the premium covers UK risks and non-UK risks and needs to be apportioned. Apportionment is done on a just and reasonable basis, according to Section 69. Therefore, one way of finding the exempt part of the premium is to apportion it by the value of the properties. In our example, if we take the premium and times it by the value of the overseas property as a percentage of the value of all properties, this bit of the premium will be exempt. Another example of apportioning a premium is where the contract covers cars registered in the UK and overseas. We could take the premium and apportion it by number. So, for example, as one of the cars is registered overseas, the part of the premium that is exempt is 1/3, representing the number of cars registered overseas out of the total cars insured. As well as the apportionment rules, we need to look at something called the de minimis rules, which are given in paragraph 4.2 of Extra Statutory Concession Notice 48. These provide that if you have a contract covering both exempt and non-exempt elements, for instance, as in our last example where we had permanent health insurance and medical insurance within the same premium, then the total premium will be exempt if the following conditions are satisfied. Firstly, the total premium must be for a maximum £500,000. Well, clearly this is satisfied. Our premium in the last example came to £500, well within the £500,000 limit. And secondly, that a maximum of 10% of the premium is attributable to the taxable part. If we look back at our previous example, the medical insurance constituted 80% of the total premium. So clearly we don't satisfy the second condition. Therefore, the de minimis rules would not have applied in this example. The concession also goes on to say that if an insurance company, as a result of the de minimis rule, only has exempt contracts, then they can apply for exemption from requirements to make returns. However, although they do not have to make returns, they still need to notify customs of their liability to register from the outset. They must also comply with record-keeping requirements so that customs can inspect the records to check that the contracts are all correctly exempt.